I was trying to keep myself from falling apart, but I knew Sam needed me, so I just took a swallow, like I was drinking a glass of water and a Tylenol, and made myself stop shaking. Dad, just come home.
The flight's only an hour, he said. Just stay calm.
Sam and I hung on to each other. That's what we did. We hung on to each other. I'm here, Sam. I'm here. I'm always going to be here. Promise? She whispered. Promise. I thought of Sylvia. Sylvia would never be coming back. Not ever. I thought of my mom.
Part 3.
Somehow, because she was all over the map, it helped me to not be all over the map. That didn't make sense, but me and Sam, what we had, well, it had a logic all its own. WFTD equals comfort. What happened between the time I called Dad and the time he arrived? Well, I'm not very clear about that. I remember Sam sitting in my dad's reading chair, stunned or numb or... I don't know. I can't explain. Everything was, I don't know. I can't explain. Everything. I do remember that Sam got into the shower. I could hear her sobbing through the walls. I couldn't stand it. I didn't know exactly what was going on in her heart. Some kind of riot, I think. Maybe she was fighting with herself, feeling guilty because she and her mother had had such a difficult relationship. A relationship that was almost unkind. Difficult. I guess sometimes love is difficult and complicated. Guess I'd known that. But no, I hadn't known that. I don't think I'd ever seen pain written on a face. Not that kind of pain. It was something awful. And I had this thing going on in the pit of my stomach, and it wouldn't go away. I remember asking Sam for her aunt's number. Her name's Lena, Sam whispered as she handed me her cell. I must have called her, but I don't remember. I must have called her because she showed up at the door, and I know Sam didn't call her. I think I knew she existed, but I'd never met her. She looked like Sylvia, only she was a little older. And she seemed a lot softer than Sylvia. She looked at me, and I looked at her. "So you're Sal?" she said. I nodded. I invited her in, but not with words. She looked around the room. She smiled at me. "I haven't seen your father for a while." "He's on his way back from Scottsdale." She nodded. "Yes. Sylvia told me your grandmother is sick." I nodded. Her voice was soft. "I'm sorry. Maybe she'll get better." "I hope so," I said. "Sam's just getting out of the shower."
"Sylvia said you were a very sweet boy."
I shrugged. I tried to imagine Sylvia saying something like that. I don't think either one of us knew what to say. We didn't exactly know each other. It was clear that she knew something about me, but not much. I didn't particularly care for being reduced to a sweet boy. My father saying things like that to me was one thing, but a stranger? Anyway, it wasn't true. And why the hell was I thinking this crap while Sam was in the other room with a heart that would never be unwounded again? Maybe her heart would never heal. Maybe the hurt would live in her forever. So why in hell was I thinking such stupid and shallow things? I had my head bowed. I was silent. I felt like an idiot. I felt her eyes on me, Sam's aunt.
Are you hungry?
Her voice was kind. No. Yes, I don't know. I didn't know anything. She smiled.
Where's your kitchen?
She looked up, and I knew Sam had walked into the room. I turned around and saw that strange and sad look on Sam's face. I watched her and her Aunt Alina stare at each other for what seemed a long time. Something was being said. Something important. Something that had to be said without words. And then Sam's aunt was holding her, silent tears falling down both their faces. The world had changed, and this new world was quiet and sad. Somehow we wound up in the kitchen. Sam seemed calmer. Too calm. She wasn't a calm person, and it scared me that she could be that way. I kept studying her, and finally she said, "You're staring. It's creeping me out." I smiled. The Sam I knew was still there. "Sorry." Sam's aunt opened the refrigerator.
"Your dad keeps a well-stocked kitchen."
"We like to cook," I said.
"Call me Lena," she said. "That's what Samantha calls me."
I nodded. She was like my Aunt Evie. She took charge. Sam and I had managed to hold things together. We'd managed, but it was hard to manage when you didn't know what to do. Lena seemed to know exactly what to do. She had more experience with these things than we did. And right now, experience mattered.
"You like tortillas?"
"Yeah, there's some in the fridge."
"Not those," she said.
Sam smiled.
"You'll make us some?" "Sure, amor.
I'll make you some of my tortillas." Sam and I watched her as she made the dough. Never measuring, just working out of years and years of memory. Like Mima. I guess there were some women who just knew how to make tortillas, who liked making them, who fed people with their art. I guess there were people walking around in the world who understood how to comfort people. Comfort. That was the word for the day. I liked that word better than death. No one said anything. There was only the sound of Lena rolling out tortillas on the kitchen table. I was thinking about Mima. In the middle of all our silence, Dad walked into the room.
"I'm home," he said. "Hello, Lena."
"Vicente."
"Tortillas," he said.
Lena nodded.
"It's what I do. I make tortillas."
Until then, I didn't know that they'd even met. That they knew each other. God, I really didn't know a damn thing. My dad looked at Sam.
"Hi," he said.
Sam fell into his arms and sobbed.
"I'm all alone now,"
she kept repeating. And Dad kept whispering,
"No, you're not, Sam. No, you're not."
And all I did, all I could do was watch. Dad and Lena and secrets. Dad and Lena were having coffee and eating tortillas in the kitchen. They were talking about funeral arrangements. They were talking about Sylvia's insurance, whether she had any. And a will? Did she have one of those? Dad seemed to have all the answers. Yes, she had insurance. Yes, she had a will. Lena was surprised. Sam was surprised, too.
I have copies, Dad said.
I had a funny feeling that somehow my dad had helped Sylvia organize her life. She hadn't been the most organized person in the world, judging from the way she kept her house. Could you think bad things about the dead? Was that allowed? But then I got to thinking that it was strange to live one's life and still be prepared for death. I didn't get it. I mean, I got it a little bit. I mean, it was a good thing that Sylvia had left a will. Sam would be taken care of. Lena and Dad started making a list of what needed to be done. I guess that's part of what the living did. They took care of their dead. Sam and I got bored, or maybe we just couldn't deal with it. But I was glad about the whole discussion Dad and Lena were having, because it seemed to calm Sam down. They were taking control. Adults could be good that way. Some of them, anyway. And this thought entered my head. Sylvia was dead, and she wasn't ever coming back. And there was nothing Dad or Lena could do about it. This was something beyond their control. Sam and I slipped out into the living room, not knowing what to do with ourselves. I kept studying her face. "Stop doing that," she said. Maggie placed her head on Sam's lap. "Tell him, Maggie. Tell him to stop staring at me." "I'm not staring. I'm just worried about you." "Well, I'm worried about me too." And there was a moment of real grief in her voice. "I feel strange," she said. "And empty. I feel empty. And you sound tired. It's all that crying. Crying is good. But it makes you tired." She kept petting Maggie's head. "She's gone, Sally. She's gone." She wasn't going to cry, not then. I think she just needed to say it. "Yes," I said. "I didn't tell her I loved her." "She knew." "You think so?" "Samantha, she knew." She nodded. "I want to sleep forever." "Sleep. Yeah, try and get some sleep." I watched her get up quietly and walk toward the spare bedroom, Maggie following close behind. "Sleep, Sam. And when you wake, I'll be here. I promise I'll be here." I shouldn't have listened in on the conversation. But I'm not really sorry. Dad and Lena were sitting on the back steps, and the door was open. I could hear every word. Both of them smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I could have just walked into the backyard and they would have changed the subject, but I just stood there listening. "Vicente, I'm so damned angry with her."
"It doesn't do much good to be angry with the dead."
"I know that. Don't you think I know that? She was driving, and she was drunk. God, who does that? Who pulls shit like that? She had a daughter."
"Calm down, Lena.
Just what?"
"Let's just do this. For Sam. Her mother's dead. It was an accident."
"Her whole life was an accident."
"So how long are you going to stay mad?"
There was a pause, and I could picture my dad taking a drag from his cigarette.
"You've been mad at her for how long?"
"My whole fucking life."
"So you're going to keep a grudge?"
"She's dead."
"Really?" Let it go.
Just like that, huh? Just like that. You have no idea what my sister put me through.
Oh, I have a pretty good idea. I may not know the details, but I have a pretty good idea.
There was another pause, and then I heard my dad saying,
"Promise me something, Lena. Just promise me one thing."
"Promise you what?"
"Don't tell Sam how her mother died."
"You mean lie to her?"
"What do you suggest? Hurt her a little more? Is that what you want?"
"You know that's not what I want."
"And all we have to say, Lena, is that it was a car accident." "What's so hard about that?" "And it was a car accident."
"It's a lie."
"Promise me."
I know I shouldn't have heard that conversation. I should have walked away from the kitchen, far away from their voices. But I wasn't sorry. I wasn't sorry at all. As I walked toward the front porch, I wondered who was right, Lena or my father. I didn't know my father was capable of lying about things that really mattered. But I thought I understood that Sam mattered more to him than the truth behind an accident report. I was glad I'd heard. It helped me. It was time for me to grow up, even though I had always wanted things to stay the same. I wasn't in charge of the world around me. My dad had spent most of his energies protecting me. Maybe there had been a time for that. Now the time for protecting me was coming to an end. But I wasn't ready to be a man. That was the truth. And Sam wasn't ready to be a woman. And I guessed a little more protecting wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because Sam and I still needed it. Lipstick. "I want to go home." I just looked at her. "Will you come with?"
"Sure."
I knew I was wearing a question mark on my face.
"I need to get some things."
"We'll take the car." Sam nodded. Sam stood outside her house for a long time, staring at the door. She handed me her key. I opened the door. I took her hand. "It's okay," I said.
"Nothing's okay."
"I'm here," I said. She looked around the house as if she'd never seen it. She walked toward her mother's bedroom. The door was open.
"She made her bed," she whispered.
She looked at me.
"She never made her bed."
I kept studying her. "You're doing it again."
"Sorry." "I can't go into that room."
"Then don't. You don't have to." I followed her as she walked into her bedroom.
"It's a disaster," she whispered. "I'm a disaster."
"Shh," I said. "No beating up on yourself. That's my job." That made her smile. She took out a suitcase, started packing a few things, then walked into the bathroom. I heard her sobbing. Then I saw why. Her mother had left a note on the bathroom mirror, written in lipstick. "Just because my love isn't perfect doesn't mean I don't love you." Sam fell into my arms. My shirt was wet with her tears. And she kept whispering over and over again,
"What am I going to do, Sally? What am I going to do?"
Sam and me, and something called home. We sat on Sam's bed, looking around the room. I'm not sure what we were looking for. She texted me. We did that sometimes, texted each other, even though we were in the same room.
I can't live here.
Me. You don't have to.
Sam. Where is home?
Me. I'll be your home. She leaned into me.
Get me out of here, Sally.
Before we left Sam's house, I used my phone to take pictures of Sylvia's last note to her daughter. I wanted Sam to have a copy, so she'd never forget. As if she ever would. Dad and Sylvia.
How could this happen?
We were sitting at the kitchen table eating soup. It was cold outside, and it seemed to me that winter had come early this year. I heard my dad answer Sam's question.
People die in accidents all the time, Sam. Do you ever read those warning signs on the freeway? The last one I read said 3,921 deaths on Texas freeways this year. Drive safely. Accidents are the cruel part of life. It's part of the equation of this thing we call living. Accidents are normal, if you stop to think about it.
Well, that's consoling, she said.
I was glad she was being sarcastic. It was a good sign.
I don't have any explanation, Sam. In the end, life and death are mysteries.
Sam just looked at my dad. Which explains nothing.
Which explains everything. We say things to each other like it's God's will.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that, so I don't say it. I can't say it. But some people do believe it. People say all kinds of things to try to explain what they can't explain. All I know is that your mother and her boyfriend were killed in a car accident. That's all I know.
So what am I going to do now?
Well, you can live here if you want.
Can I do that? Don't I have to go live with my Aunt Lena?
No.
No.
Dad had a serious look on his face. When he was deciding, he had a specific look.
I need to tell you something, Samantha.
He called her Samantha. This was serious. I wondered if he was going to tell her the truth about how her mother died.
When you and Salvi were about 6 years old, your mother got arrested for driving while intoxicated.
She did?
Yes. I'm not trying to make your mother look bad here, Samantha. I'm not. Just hear me out. It was like this. She called me on the phone in the middle of the night. She told me she was in jail. It was the 2nd of July.
He looked over at me.
You were having one of your slumber parties that night. I had your Aunt Evie pick you both up the next morning. You spent the 4th of July weekend at Mima's house. Both of you. I don't know if you remember.
Sam and I looked at each other.
I don't, I said. I do, Sam said. It was the first time I got to blow up fireworks. But that's the only thing I remember.
My dad nodded.
I got your mother out of jail. In the end, she got to keep her license. They weren't as strict back then as they are now about that sort of thing. But I made your mom make a will. I guess you could say I gave her a lecture.
What did you tell her?
Believe me, you don't really want to hear all the details.
I do. Sam gave Dad one of her looks. I do want to hear all the details.
Dad shook his head.
I told your mother she could live her life any way she wanted. I told her that her life was none of my business. But I also told her that she had you to think about. She had a few choice words for me. I remember losing my temper with her. I know how to throw words around, too. So I guess you could say we threw some words around that day.
Dad laughed.
The funny thing is, that's when Sylvia and I became friends. At least we came to a sort of understanding. The point of the story is this.
There were tears running down my father's face, and he looked straight into Sam's eyes.
When she handed me a copy of the will she'd had made up, she said to me, "If anything should ever happen to me, Vicente, I've had you appointed as Samantha's legal guardian. Your mother loved you very much, Sam."
He stopped.
"And so do I."
He got up from the kitchen table.
"I'm going to have a cigarette."
Sam, Dad, me, home. Sam and I looked at each other. We were both crying, but, you know, just tears. Those silent things again. Then I said to Sam, "You're going to have to learn how to clean." She laughed, and I laughed. And I guess we needed to laugh, because we couldn't stop. Were we learning to whistle in the dark? When we finally pulled ourselves together, I said, "Let's go sit with Dad." So we sat on the steps as he smoked. And then my dad said,
"Anybody want to play catch?"
So we played catch all afternoon. Sometimes we said something, mostly we didn't, and everything in the world was calm again. All the tears were gone. At least for now. The tears would come back again. But we had this little piece of quiet that was helping us survive. We were safe. We were home. WFTD equals extinct. I sat at my desk staring at my computer. I wanted to write something, but I didn't know what. I saw Sam's text appear on my cell. She was sitting in the living room, deciding whether she wanted to watch television. "Sam, WFTD equals extinct. Me. Question mark. Use word in sentence. Sam, my mother's voice is extinct. Me. Sad face." I knew why people were afraid of the future. Because the future wasn't going to look like the past. That was really scary. What was Sam's future going to look like now that her mother's voice was extinct? What was my future going to look like when Mima's voice left this world? I kept hearing Sam's whispers. "What am I gonna do?" Me and Sam, and a word called faith. On the morning of Sylvia's funeral, I lay in bed thinking about things. I texted Sam, "You awake?" Sam,
"Yep."
Me,
"Did you sleep?"
Sam, "A bit." Me,
"Do you believe?"
Sam,
question mark.
Me,
"You know, like faith."
Sam, "No, don't have that. Want to, but don't. You?" Me,
"Don't know."
Sam,
"Your dad?"
Me, "Yeah, think so, but not like Mima." Sam, "Wish I had what she has." Me,
"Maybe we can learn how to get it."
Sam, "My mom equals no faith equals sad face." Me,
"You sure?"
Sam, "She told me."
Me,
"Oh." Sam, "You think God cares?"
Me.
Yes. Sam. Really? Me. Yeah. Sam. Then why is the world so screwed up? Me. Because of us, Sam. Sam. We suck.
Sylvia. Goodbye. It was sunny and cold that day. Sylvia's body was cremated. She hadn't wanted a church service, but in the end, for Sam, Dad and Lena decided to have a quiet mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. There weren't a lot of people there. A few, some of Sylvia's co-workers, who seemed to be genuinely sad. Lena was there with her husband and her three children, older cousins whom Sam barely knew. But they were very nice and friendly. And Fito was there. I'd texted him about what happened, so he just showed up. He was wearing a tie and a black sports coat. Fito. He had some class, that's for sure. Sam wore a black dress and her mother's pearls. For a moment, I thought she'd suddenly become a woman. Me. I felt awkward in the suit I was wearing. The thing that impressed me the most about Sam was that she didn't fall apart. She sat next to me, and there were times during Mass when she grabbed my arm, and I could see the tears running down her cheeks. But she seemed in control of her emotions. Then I thought of the word for the day. Dignity. The Sam I knew was never in control of her emotions. But on that day, she was wearing dignity. So much more beautiful than pearls. It was only on the short drive to the house that she leaned into me in the back seat of my dad's car and sobbed, like a hurt animal. And then she was calm again. "I'm a fucking train wreck," she said. "You're not," I said. "You're a girl who lost her mom." She smiled. "Fito was there. That was really sweet." "Yeah. Tell me again why I never liked him." There was a small reception at our house. I guess that's what people do. Not that I knew. Lena told me I was a handsome young man. "Not quite as handsome as your father," she said. And then she winked. She was a very decent human being. I knew that much. And though I knew she had been angry with her sister, I knew there were reasons behind her anger, because a woman like her, well, she didn't seem to be an angry person. And she really liked my dad. So I asked her, "How do you know Dad? Through Sylvia?" "No. Actually, I met your dad years ago at an art gallery in San Francisco. I bought one of his paintings." She smiled. "Imagine my surprise when I found out that we had Sylvia in common." That made me smile. "How close with her were you?" I asked. "Not very. I didn't like Sylvia very much. But I loved her anyway. She was my sister." Somehow that made sense to me. "You know, Sal," she said, "there was a time I threatened to take Samantha away from her."
"Why didn't you?"
"Your dad. We talked. I knew Samantha would be okay."
"Because my dad said so?"
"Yes."
"You trusted him that much?"
"Men like your father are very rare. I hope you know that." "I think I do know," I said.
"You don't mind that Sam's going to live with us?"
"Why would I mind? I want to be close to her. I've always wanted to be close to her. But her mother wouldn't allow it. If I took her to live with me, she'd begin to hate me, and she'd probably wind up running away. She'd run straight here. She'd run back to what she knows, to what she loves. I nodded. Yeah, I said. I wanted to tell her that I thought she had a beautiful heart, but I realized there would be time for that. Or maybe I was just scared of saying something like that to an adult I barely knew. Sam held the urn that contained her mother's ashes. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
You're no help.
Nope.
She finally put the urn in front of the fireplace. We just sort of looked at each other. Sam and Fito and I sat on the front steps. Sam was staring at a piece of cake as if she didn't recognize what it was. I was drinking a cup of coffee. Fito was on his third serving of potato salad. I swear that guy just couldn't get enough to eat. Then Fito looked at Sam and said,
"What about your father?"
"My father? I met him once. He showed up at the door asking Sylvia for some money. A real winner."
"So why'd your mother marry him?"
"That's an easy one. He was good-looking."
"There must have been another reason."
"My mother wasn't that complicated," she laughed. I think she was laughing at herself. "I'm just being mean. My mother wasn't as shallow as I make her out to be. Yeah, my father must have had some good qualities. Maybe he was smart, who knows? He was broke, that was for sure."
"Well, at least you met him. That's something."
But what? I thought. Why was that something? What?
"You can always look for him, Sam," Fito said.
"Why would I want to do that?" Sam said. "I'm just not interested."
"Why?" I asked.
"The day he came over, he wasn't interested in me. Not at all. Funny thing was, I wasn't interested in him either. It was just this weird and awkward moment. He didn't care. And for some reason, it didn't hurt." I wondered about that.
I guess Sam and Fito and I had a lot in common. We had this absent father thing going on. Except that I did have a father who took care of me and loved me. And now Sam and I had this dead mother thing going on. Except that was different. Sam had actually known her mother. And just like the dad thing didn't hurt her, I guess the mom thing didn't hurt me. Sam said it did hurt me, but I wasn't feeling that. I wasn't. And then it was like Fito was reading my mind.
"You ever think about your mom?"
"Yeah, but it's weird, since I don't really remember her."
"And you're never gonna look for your bio dad? I mean, you said you think about him sometimes."
Sam decided to enter the conversation. "Sally, you've never told me you thought about your birth father. Not ever."
"I hadn't thought about him much until recently."
"How recently? Since the letter?"
"Yeah. Well, maybe a little before."
"Hmm," she said. "There's a lot of things you're not talking about these days, Sally."
Fito was just looking at us.
"What letter?"
Sam answered his question.
"Of course she did.
Sally has a letter from his mother. She wrote it before she died, and he's afraid to open it."
"Open it, dude? I'd open it. What's wrong with you?"
"I didn't say I wasn't going to open it. I just haven't done it yet."
Fito shook his head.
"What are you waiting for, dude? Maybe you'll find out some cool stuff about your parents and shit."
"I have a dad."
"And he's the bomb, dude.
but you're sounding all pissed off and shit, and there is definitely something going on with you. Something's going on with everybody, Fito. Sam kept looking at me. That I'm studying you thing she did. And then she smiled. At least you've given me something to think about besides the fact that my mother's dead. Everybody had gone home, except Lena. Lena and Dad were having a glass of wine. Sam and I had gotten out of our funeral get-ups. There was a cold drizzle falling, and I wondered if we were going to have a cold winter. Maggie was scratching at the door. I let her in. And then I thought that maybe life was like that. There would always be something scratching at the door. And whatever was scratching would just scratch and scratch until you opened the door. I sat back down at the kitchen table. What was it about kitchen tables? Lena looked over at Sam.
I have something for you.
She reached into her purse, pulled out a ring. She placed it in Sam's palm. Sam stared at it. She kept staring and staring.
It's an engagement ring, she whispered. She was wearing it the night of the accident. She wasn't wearing it when she left the house.
Lena nodded. She was wearing a sad smile.
I think your mother got engaged the night she died.
To Daniel? Lena nodded.
So she got what she always wanted. Yes, she got what she always wanted. And Daniel? His family took his body to be buried in San Diego.
Sam kept staring at the ring. She kept nodding.
Then she must have died happy.
She laid her head on the table and cried. River. I was lying on my bed thinking about things. I could hear the wind outside. Maggie was on loan to Sam. Not that there was really any lending going on. Maggie seemed to know that Sam was sad, so it was okay. Still, I missed Maggie. Then I got a text from Sam. The world has changed. Me. We'll make it through. Sam. I love you and your dad. You know that, right? Me. We love you back. Sam. I won't cry anymore. Me. Cry all you like. Sam. I didn't hate her. Me. I know. Sam. Slumber party? Me. Absolutely. I got out of bed, turned on the lamp, put on my sweatpants. I took my sleeping bag out of the closet. Sam and Maggie came walking through the door. Sam threw herself on my bed. Maggie licked my face before jumping up on the bed. Let's listen to a song, Sally, Sam said. Okay, I said. What about Stay With Me? Sam Smith is gay. You do know that. You got something against gay people? And there we were, laughing again. What was it with this laughing thing? We were not supposed to be in the laughing mood. But there it all was. Me and Sam laughing. Whistling in the dark? Whistling in the dark.
Give me a song, will you, Sally?
What?
I need a song. Give me one.
I thought a moment. I got one, I said. It's called River.
Who sings it?
Emily Sandé.
I like her.
Me too. Okay, I said. I took out my laptop and found the song on YouTube. Sam turned off the light. We lay there in the dark, listening to Emily Sandé's voice. And when the song ended, it seemed that the world had gone completely silent. Then I heard Sam's voice in the dark. "So you'll be my river, Sally?" She was crying again. "Yeah," I said. "I would do all the running for you." I would have sung her the whole song, but I have a not-so-great singing voice.
"And you'll move the mountains just for me?"
"Yeah," I whispered. And then I was crying, too. Not out-of-control crying, but crying. Soft, like it was coming from a place inside me that was quiet and soft, too. And that was better than the hard place inside me when I made a fist, or wanted to make one. Maybe the river was made of our tears, mine and Sam's. Maybe the river was made of everybody's tears. Everybody who had ever lost anybody. All those tears. Cigarettes. I woke early, my mind trying to catch up with everything that had happened. Life had always been slow and easy, and all of a sudden I felt like I was living my life in a relay race, and there was no one else to hand the baton to. I lay in bed repeating the names of my uncles and aunts. I'd always done that when I was stressed. And all of a sudden I panicked. School. Oh shit, school. And then I realized it was Saturday. I'd missed a whole week of school. I wondered if my dad had called the school. Of course he had. I got up. Sam was fast asleep, and Maggie was looking at me like it was time for her to go outside and do her morning thing. Maggie. Her life was simple. I used to think mine was, too. Maggie and I made our way to the kitchen. My dad was pouring himself a cup of coffee. I opened the back door to let Maggie out. She looked up at me, barked, wagged her tail, and ran out into the yard. Dogs are amazing. They know how to be happy. My dad took out another cup and poured a coffee for me. I grabbed it and took a sip. Dad made really good coffee.
How do you sleep?
Good. Sam came over to my room and we had a slumber party.
You stay up talking all night?
Nah. I think she just didn't want to be alone. She needed to sleep.
Sleep is good, he said.
You?
Okay. I slept okay.
He opened the drawer where he kept his cigarettes. He wasn't storing them in the freezer anymore.
It's a little cold, he said. Want to grab me a coat?
I went to the closet in the entryway and put on a coat and grabbed one for my dad. He handed me his coffee, and I held it as he put on his coat. Sometimes I wish we could sleep through all the bad stuff, I said as we sat down. You know, like the song. Wake me up, you know, when it's over. It would be good to sleep until we woke up wiser.
I like that song. But it doesn't work that way, does it, Salvi?
Yeah, I know. I don't like death.
I don't think anyone does. But it's something we have to live with.
He took a drag from his cigarette and looked at me.
The news isn't good about Mima.
I nodded.
She's coming home. There's not much we can do but keep her comfortable.
She's going to die?
Yeah, Salvi. I think we're going to lose her.
I hate God.
That's an easy thing to say. Let you in on a little secret, Salvi. Hating God is a lot of work.
He doesn't need her. I do. He put out his cigarette and wrapped his arm around me.
All your life I've tried to protect you from all the shit in the world. From all the bad things. But I can't protect you from this. I can't protect you, and I can't protect Sam. All I have is a shoulder. And that will have to do. When you were a little boy, I used to carry you. I miss those days sometimes. But those days are over. I can walk beside you, Salvi, but I can't carry you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I whispered.
And then I got up. I'm gonna take a walk.
Walking is good, Salvi.
I was trying not to think about things as I walked, but it was hard to keep my mind blank. So I put in my earphones and listened to music. There was this guy I liked, a singer, Brendan James, and he had this song, Nothing for Granted. And I listened to it over and over and sang with him, so I wouldn't have to think about anything. But as I was walking back toward the house, the thought occurred to me that I'd like to get drunk. I'd never been drunk, and I thought it might help. If you got drunk, you didn't think about things, did you? I was thinking stupid thoughts and doing stupid math inside my head. I was going a little crazy. Sam moving in. Just as I reached the front porch, the cold rain started falling. Lena's car was parked in front of the house. I figured she'd come to visit Sam. I could smell bacon when I walked inside. Lena and Sam were drinking coffee and talking. Maggie was sitting patiently waiting for a crumb to come her way. It was warm in the kitchen, and I felt safe. I kept studying Dad as he served everyone scrambled eggs and bacon. Sam and Lena were talking about heading over to Sam's house to go through Sylvia's belongings.
You'll want to keep some things, Samantha.
Sam seemed calm enough. Not normal, really, but she wasn't falling apart either. I really wanted to know what was going through her head. No, that wasn't right. I wanted to know what was going through her heart. I heard my dad's voice as I chewed on my bacon.
You're quiet over there.
Yeah, don't have that many words living inside me today. Sam smiled.
That's normal.
Yeah, I said. Normal. It was a good thing the spare bedroom was big, and it was an even better thing that it had a big closet. Dad and I cleared the closet of the crap we'd put there. Clothes we no longer wore, miscellaneous stuff we never got around to getting rid of. Leftovers, Dad called them.
There are always leftovers in people's lives.
Dad said it was all going to St. Vincent de Paul, the Catholic version of Goodwill. Yep, Mima would approve of that. She was all about the Catholic thing. It took all evening to move Sam in. Too many shoes, I said, and too many blouses and skirts and pants and dresses and...
Shut up. She said.
My dad and I went to pick up an antique dresser that had belonged to Sylvia. It had a big mirror attached to the back, and we set the whole thing up in Sam's room. It was the only piece of furniture she wanted. You can sit around all day and look at yourself, I said.
Shut up, Sam said.
We kinda joked around all evening. Everything was nice and orderly, as if nothing had happened. Sam was just moving in. No big deal. Life went on, and maybe that was good. Sylvia was dead, and Mima was dying. But Sam and Dad and Lena and I, we were alive. And the only thing to do was keep on living. So that's what we were doing. We were living. Or trying to. I was happy that Sam was going to live with us. Very happy. But Sam, maybe she was a long way from happy. Well, hell. I was a long way from happy, too. Behind. Thursday. A normal day. Back at school. At the end of the day, when I met Sam at her locker, some asshole walked by and gave her this really lecherous look. I flipped him the bird and stared him down. "You're feisty today," Sam said. "I don't like the way he looked at you." "So you're paying attention to assholes these days?" "Sorry, Sam." "Things didn't used to bother you." But then she must have seen something written on my face. "And you didn't used to beat up on yourself either." "Maybe I did," I said. "Maybe I just hit it well." "Aw, Salvi." She leaned over and kissed my shoulder. "Let's go home." Home. That's where Mima was. She'd come back home to Las Cruces. Sam and I were settling back into the school routine thing. We were behind, so we had a lot of homework. We stayed up late every night to catch up, and somehow homework helped us both. Sam was fiercely determined to keep up her GPA. She was a little bit crazy. "No B's," she said. "Just A's." "I'm good with B's," I said.
"Don't settle," she said.
"I'm not settling," I said. "I just don't want to make myself crazy."
"I'm already fucking crazy."
She flipped the page on the book she was studying.
"And you're not far behind."
"LOL," I said. It was no use talking to her. I wished she'd go back to buying shoes or something. She was all over the map with those emotions of hers. Studying helped her focus. So I guess it was okay that she was diving into the waters of homework. At least she knew how to swim there. And somehow, because she was all over the map, it helped me not be all over the map. That didn't make sense. But me and Sam, what we had? Well, it had a logic all its own. Dad had been working a lot. Said he was behind. Yeah, behind. Everyone was behind. And it had been really cold, which wasn't normal for this time of year. What's up with the weather? No bueno. I watched Sam as she read. Her eyes were as sad as they were fierce. Dad was talking to Mima on his cell. He was wearing a look. I have a word for that look. Concerned. And I was wondering what kind of look was on my face. I didn't have a word for the day. Other People's Tragedies. Sam walked into the kitchen as I was having a cup of coffee.
"It's Saturday," she said.
"Yep."
"New phase."
"New phase?" "Pawn shops." "Pawn shops? You've already gone through that phase."
"Yeah, well, sometimes phases boomerang back."
"Fun. History repeating itself. It's called recidivism."
"A word I taught you?"
"A word you live."
"Shut up, Sally. I'm going to ignore your lack of enthusiasm. I won't interpret it as a lack of empathy for a person in my situation." Sam, sometimes you really are shamelessly manipulative.